So I'm Alpheus, if you are new, and we are in the middle of the series called What's Love Got to Do With It? And I'm glad that Lady Webb came up with this title, another one of the teachers here. And maybe next week I'll talk about, everybody say what love? What's love got to do with it? Maybe next week I'll talk about which love, because it's not just really in the Bible, it's not just one love, okay? So maybe next week, hopefully, I'll have it nailed down soon. But everybody say, which love? So it's not necessarily what's love got to do with it, but maybe which love we're talking about. So today we're going to be coming from Matthew 9 and 4. I do have it on the screen. And this scripture actually starts with a question, just like our series title. And I love questions. And I want to lift this passage again. Matthew 9 and 4. Let's read it together. Ready, set, read. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts?" This is Jesus talking, and Jesus, it seems to me when Jesus is, well, first of all, it feels kind of weird to say Jesus discovered something, because Jesus is God. And so nothing ever occurred to God. So God never says, "I wonder." God never says, That makes sense? God never says, Let me think. All right. So, but the Bible says here, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart?" So first of all, when Jesus is asking a question, is it for us or is it for him? We know it's not for him. He already knows. It's for us to think about it. Amen. But I'm wondering if when I used to get in trouble as a kid, do I look like a guy that used to get in trouble? I'm trying to keep that innocent face. But the tone that my mama gave me when she somewhat discovered that I did something I wasn't supposed to do, was this crazy tone. And so she knew my heart because my actions revealed my heart. So, but I wonder, what kind of tone does Jesus have here? Because he already knew their hearts. But Jesus is compassionate. He is also straight down the middle. He wants us to live a life fulfilled. He wants us to live a holy life. Amen. But I wonder if Jesus, with his compassion and his grace, said, "Bro, sis, ma'am, friend, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? You know better." Or maybe he said, "Why in the world are you doing that?" Maybe he took my mama tone. "I really want to take it up about 20 notches, but mom may be watching on the stream today, and I need a banana pudding later, so I'm not going to really embarrass her today." But maybe he took my mama's tone. "Why are you doing that?" And y'all know what followed. Y'all know what followed. So, guys, there is fruit from entertaining evil thoughts. If you entertain evil thoughts, there's going to be certain fruit. There's going to be certain fruit. For an example, I want to ask this question. Guys, why did you beat that young man up like that unjustly in Memphis to the point of death? Why did you do that? There's going to be fruit. Everybody say fruit. Or if you want to write down fruit, everybody say fruit. There's going to be fruit from entertaining evil thoughts. There's going to be fruit. There's going to be results. Sir, recently, if you guys have never heard, if you didn't hear about this in the news, you probably didn't hear about this in the news. I want to ask, sir, why did you go into that service in Israel and shoot up the synagogue? I think it was a synagogue, guys. Why did you shoot innocent people? including a child. There's going to be fruit from entertaining evil thoughts. I want to say, ma'am of God, why are you allowing the enemy to use you, traveling the world, promoting filth, vulgarity, sending mixed signals or six signals, praising God and praising sin and being sacrilegious? There's going to be fruit when you entertain evil thoughts. When you entertain. Everybody say entertain. Because Matthew 12 and 34 says, if you want to turn to it, guys, it says, out of the abundance of the heart. Everybody say abundance. Abundance. Now, you know when somebody wins the lottery, because you're going to see what? Their wardrobe is going to change, right? Right? Yeah, it's going to change. And so there's going to be fruit. Abundance yields fruit, certain fruit. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is the mouth speaking? What are your actions based on what's in your heart? Matthew 12 says, so if Matthew 12, 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, let's rewind maybe one verse. Matthew 12, verse 33 says, let's read this together. Y'all all right? Matthew 12, 33 says, let's read, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or one translation says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Amen. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Everybody say abundance. But I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. All right, I'm reading the far speed limit. It's about 20 miles per hour. So y'all can stay with me. But if y'all feel like y'all going to sleep, I'm gonna turn it up to New York, Brooklyn, New York. I'm gonna speed it up, maybe New Jersey. Speed it up just a little bit, all right? Y'all stay with me. One more sentence. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Look at somebody, say the ball is in your court. Everybody say the ball is in your mouth. Everybody say the ball is in your heart. So this is proof that you can know the heart by what you see. Can you really judge a book by its cover? I submit to you guys, there are a lot of clues from the outside that reveals what's on the inside. Amen? There's a lot of clues. I don't even have to be a prophet in this room. I could just look. There's a secular song. Some call it secular song, secular, that it says it's written all over your face. You don't have to say a word. Y'all may be too young for that, but some of us know that song. It's written all over your, but perhaps it's written all over your heart. You don't have to say a word. So don't be scared to call a spade. If it quacks like a duck and if it walks like a duck, it is probably what? It's probably a duck. Amen. I know we're in 2023. And 1 + 1, they say, doesn't equal 2. And 2 + 2, actually, really, if you look really inside 2 + 2, it really doesn't equal 4. Because if you, bruh, really? But that's a whole nother, that's what Brother Lawrence was talking about a few minutes ago, about these, what I call, the Bible calls it irreverent babbles. The enemy is trying to get us in this web of confusion, and so we can get further and further away from the truth. Amen. Now, the answer to white, a whitewashed Christianity. It's not a blackwashed Christianity, as he stated. All right, so we want to be balanced in our faith. Everybody say balanced in our faith. That's another message. Y'all come Wednesday. That's going to be, I got class Wednesday, but y'all got to come Wednesday. Come Wednesday. That's going to be eye-opening. So Matthew 9 says, because if this is proof, you can know the heart by the fruit. I want to focus on Matthew 9 because this question that Jesus asked, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? All right, right before Jesus asked this question, first of all, you got to figure out who was Jesus talking to. Everybody say, who was he talking to? Because he was talking to somebody. I know I'm presenting this like it's for us, but this is something we can learn by who Jesus was talking to, from the conversation, from the exchange, all right? So just think, Jesus is talking to a group of people. There are two sides. There's Jesus, and then there's a group of individuals. So this gives us context, amen? Y'all all right? So Matthew 9 says, Jesus stepped into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own town. All right. So first of all, that's the first red flag. They're probably not going to receive Jesus because he's just a homeboy. Okay. That makes sense. So some men brought to him he was a homeboy, but they knew he had answers and he had healing in his hand. Amen. It's kind of like somebody that makes it from Seneca. They go to the NFL. They may be a homeboy, but when they make it, they come back. Everybody's lined up for a handout. That makes sense because they know, hey, you in the NFL, you got a little money. You come back to Clemson and you come back to Seneca. Hey, maybe you'll give me some money. Y'all know how it works because people are selfish. people just want. Amen. They don't respect you when it counts. Amen. They respect you when it counts for them. Why am I here? I don't even talk like that. But when Jesus listened, so they brought Jesus, which is good for this man that was paralyzed, that he had some friends that would even bring him to Jesus so he can be better. Amen. So you want to be surrounded by friends that want what's best for you. Okay, and so guys, biblically, if you study this, it's almost like, how in the world they got this man to Jesus? But it was, some say that they brought this man to Jesus on something that looked like this. Well, not that. So it was like a mat, or in today's time, it would be like a blow-up mattress. And so imagine a man that's paralyzed that they can transport around so much that they can actually lower this man in the roof of a building that's paralyzed. And so it had to be something that can be that can maneuver, and that they can transport this paralyzed man and then eventually get him in the roof of this building so he can be healed. But what happened next is very juicy. Everybody say, I got the tea. No, he got the tea. Everybody say, he's got the tea. So Jesus saw their faith. It got this man on this rug, if you will. And Jesus said, take heart, son. So now Jesus is addressing this man. You would think Jesus is about to heal this man, like instantly, because that's what he came to do. He came to heal. He came to heal, but Jesus, first of all, he didn't address his physical state. He addressed his metaphysical state. He said, your sins are forgiven. It seems like that's the wrong order to me. I'm here for healing, a physical healing, and you're trying to give me therapy, if I can say it like that. You're trying to give me therapy. I'm not here for that. Everybody say, God knows what's best. Everybody say, Jesus knows what's best. Y'all got to trust him in this room. Continue to trust him. I'm talking to myself. Continue to trust God, because he knows what's best. Amen?
Amen.
At this time, but look, when Jesus said this, there were some people, there's some bystanders that was listening, these teachers. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. First of all, how are you going to insult Jesus by calling him this fellow? To me, you're blaspheming saying he blaspheming. Because you're not, put some respect on it. Put some respect on it. Everybody say, put some respect on it. They said, this fellow, of course it's not, you know why they would say that? Because he's just a homeboy. He was, you know, they may would just see him as a regular person. Everybody say, Jesus is not regular. And so they said, this fellow is blaspheming. Why are they accusing him of blaspheming? Y'all know that's really, really, you can be killed for being blasphemous in the biblical days. Why did they say he was basically blaspheming for granting this man's sins to be forgiven? Glad y'all quiet. And I ain't gonna tell you. No, I'm just kidding. Because they did not respect Jesus as man and God. Even in 2023, it's hard to wrap your head around it. A man could be fully human and fully divine. So how much more hard it would be to understand in the biblical days for the man that you see in the flesh saying your sins are forgiven. It would be hard for them to grasp that, because that is only reserved for God to be able. Only God can forgive sins or has the authority to forgive sins. So they did not want to see the man in front of them as having the authority to forgive sins. Because if this man in front of them had the authority to forgive sins, then he also had the authority to read their mail. Or to, like, if this man is in front of me, what is he going to say about me next? Or how is he going to address me next? Does that make sense? So everybody say, put some respect on it. I know they felt threatened. I know they felt threatened. And so he challenged their hearts. This is the reason why Jesus asked, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? He was talking to these guys that was murmuring within themselves, saying this man has the nerve to dish out forgiveness. That's why he asked them, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? So is this passage telling us whenever we don't respect God, we are entertaining evil? Whenever we disrespect God, we're entertaining evil? Is that what this passage is saying? Whenever we do not honor God, do we invite evil? That's exactly what it's saying. Guys, Jesus is concerned. Everybody say, Jesus. He's concerned about your physical health, but he's more concerned about your spiritual health. Yes, he wants you to be healed. 2 weeks ago, I lost my voice. I still got this little tickle in my throat. Somebody told me to drink a whole lot of whiskey. I said, I ain't doing that. It was tempting. But I'm almost there. And I said, God, heal me. But even in me losing my voice and having some other things going on, it wasn't COVID. The doctor said, well, you healthy, but you sick. I said, well, how am I healthy sick? I went home confused. But in that time, I feel like God was speaking to me in that. And so to be healthy spiritually is really what we should be after. Who wants to be healthy in your heart? You want to be healthy in your levav, in your cardia, your levav, in your heart. The heart, there's a passage, I don't have it committed to memory, but it says, the heart is wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? I'm not sure where it's found. The heart is wicked and deceitful. No man can trust it. The heart is complex. It is very complex. What's love got to do with it? I know there's a lot, maybe many in this room, we're looking for love. Or you want to be in love. Amen? I can see how the smile's like, yes, I would love to be in love one day. You want a blissful marriage like the Wrights. Right? Like the Meadows. You want a marriage that lasts. Anybody wants a marriage that lasts? Jay has a love story. But when I tell you, this heart thing is complex because it deals with knowledge. It deals with the inner man. It deals with the mind, the will. It deals with your desires. It deals with understanding. It deals with intellect. It deals with, that's why we have to make sure our heart is pure. Our heart is always confronted with God's spirit. It's always under, what's the word? Under, not scrutiny, but under improvement. I want to improve my biceps, and I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I'm telling you, I've been pumping iron. I'm trying to improve my cardio. But I really need to try to improve my heart, my spiritual health, my heart health. Amen? Your desires, your intellect, because your heart, in your heart lies is the seat of emotions and passions, the seat of appetite and desires. Your thinking, reflection, memory, inclination, resolution, your determination of will, your conscience, your inner part. The Bible says, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Get your AK. Well, what's my gun of choice? Well, get whatever your gun of choice in the spirit and guard your heart. For out of these are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Everybody say, it's a heart problem anyway. We're trying to figure out what's going on in the world. Everybody say, it's the heart. They can pay me $100,000 and I'll tell them that the problem is the heart. This movie here, guys, you probably seen it. You may not have seen it. But in this movie, a family that prays, the mama asked her son, or the son said, mama, you don't trust me. And then the mama said, it's not that I don't trust you, son. It's your inner thoughts that give me pause. And she was right, because her son tried to betray her and she detected it. She saw right through it. Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? We can take a page out of, I'm almost finished. We can take a page out of the book, because guys, perhaps when we are trying to contend for the faith and we, y'all know the Grammys. Why we can't say the Grammys and the things that happen on the Grammys are and were demonic. What's wrong with saying that? Why are we so scared to say that? Why are we so scared to say that? Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? If it's evil, it's evil. Amen? Everybody say this with me. This is not in my notes. Everybody say, I do not like sin wherever it shows up. In you, or me. Now that we've covered all of our bases, amen? Because the wages of sin is what? It's death. The wages of sin is death. So why do you entertain? Everybody say entertain. So why do you ponder? Why do you meditate? Why do you rotate? Why do you spin evil thoughts in your mind? Ask yourself, am I a good host for evil thoughts? This is the closest. I forgot my suitcase. This is the closest thing I had in the trunk to a suitcase. But guys, you know you are a good host for evil thoughts when you do certain things. You know you're a good host when people come to your house and they don't want to leave. When they come to your dorm room and they don't want to leave, you're a good host. What do you do, though, to make the situation so comfortable where people don't want to leave? I can tell you what you do. You bake them pies. You bake them pies. You give them a blanket. You give them a throw. You say, sit right here. Here's a throw. You turn the temperature just right. And they get comfortable and they don't want to leave. Guys, when you repeat this over and over, now you got some squatters at your house. And they think they're there, but they don't pay the bills. Certain things should not be in your heart because it's not paying the bills. It is hurting more than it's helping. Amen? But you entertain really good. And so do you think evil thoughts are going to want to go anywhere when you are rotating, when you are meditating, when you are repeating? It's going to move in. Everybody said, don't let it move in. Are you a good host for evil thoughts? Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Now, you're gonna have evil thoughts that pop up. It's the entertaining piece. This bag right here is when we go out of town, we take this bag because we go to the grocery store. Hey, adabo. And we're gonna be there for a while. That's what this bag is for. Do not let the enemy bring this to your party because he wants to be there for a while. Now, you know the enemy is not bringing strawberries and whipped cream, eggs. He is bringing what? Lies, death, deceit. Do not let him bring this to the party. Amen? Y'all got that? I didn't know what I was going to do with this today, but it's coming together. Y'all just give me grace, all right? Well, object lesson. John 14, 15 says, let's end with this. You guys can stand. Let's end with this today. I think y'all see where I'm coming from with this. What's love got to do with it? With this heart health, with our spirit. John 14, 15 says, it's another question. Everybody say questions. I was going to say this earlier. When we're trying to contend for the faith, a good way to be a good apologist is to ask questions. Everybody say ask questions. Ask questions. In other words, if you don't know the answers to, like for an example, if they say, I'm saying they, but if the opposing view says, why do you believe in Jesus? Do you not know that there was not a J in biblical days or in biblical times? Like the J is only so many hundreds of years old, then like what do you say to that? You may have seen this on TikTok, you may have seen this heard this at the barbershop. And so now you're like, what in the world? How do I answer that? But a good way to contend and defend the faith is to ask questions. Everybody say, what do you mean by that? Everybody say, what do you mean by that? And then maybe when you ask that question, now they have the burden of proof to explain what they are saying, and then they said, you know what? Never mind, I really didn't, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. And then God just got you out of that one. And then that buys you time to study and come up with an answer. Okay? That makes sense? I know y'all want twos, so we don't be in this and be a Christian and we looked at it as like y'all don't, what are y'all doing? Y'all are some dummies. Am I the only one feeling that in the world? Christianity is associated with dummies. Yeah, thank you. I know y'all are seeing that too. So this John 14:15 says, it starts with a question. If you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 15:8, Jesus is saying, these people, first of all, if Jesus called you these people, that ain't good. He ain't say my beloved. He said, these people. That ain't good. It's like, you know, and it's fighting words today. If somebody say, you people, that's fighting words, ain't it? Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Who loves God in the room? Raise your hand. Lift your hands if you love God. The tone of these two passages is, does your mouth and movement match? Does your heart and hands match? What do I mean by that? If you love me, keep my commandments. Perhaps God is saying, listen, just chill all of that convention talk. You can keep your sweet nothings. If you can't back it up with sweet somethings, shut up. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty in your face. If you love me, keep my commandments. Protect my commandments. Preserve my commandments. So are you saying if I disobey God, that means I don't love him? If I disobey God, are you saying I don't? Because we all disobey God, right? Does that mean I don't love him? Let me put it this way. When you disobey God at that moment, we are saying, I like something else better at that moment. I know this ain't a good shout and ending. But at that moment, we're saying, I like this better. So if you love me, keep my commandments. God's love language is action. Matthew 15:8, these people honor me with their lips, but your heart is far from me. Your question may be, I thought out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So my lips honoring God doesn't mean anything? Everybody say, God, I love you. Everybody say, God, I love you. But everything out of your mouth, guys, may come from your heart, but your heart is also home to a lot. So what if you are misinformed and you speak out of ignorance? So remember all of those lists of things where that was associated with the heart? Want to make sure that the word of God is in your heart, that truth is in your heart. Because if your heart is misinformed and you speak, the heart is wicked and deceitful. Who can trust it? Who can know it? Hope I'm making sense, guys. So I'll just take this posture like David on a daily, on an hourly. Psalm 51:10 says, created me, let's read this together like a prayer. Lift your hand, guys. Created me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Thank you, Lord. Let's just do some heart searching for a few minutes. You may say, I'm a good person. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do that. But what about our heart? What is the posture of our heart? So let's do some soul searching and look right in that thing, and you know exactly what needs to be addressed. Alpheus knows exactly what needs to be addressed. I can't see what's in your heart, guys, but God can. Thank you, Lord. God, we don't want to entertain it. We don't want to make it where it feels like it can reside in our heart. Anything not like you, we denounce it. We won't listen to it. We won't sit there and watch it. When our spirit is vexed, we will turn it off. We will turn it down. We will walk away. We will replace it with truth. We will replace good, evil with good, false with truth, sadness with joy. And we thank you, God, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Thank you, Jesus.